Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
I just want to thank some people. You know, I don't get in front of you guys a lot during the season. And so, obviously, I want to start with our players and coaches. You know, heck of a job, heck of a run. I wish this wasn't my end of season presser right now, you know, as they do. But they did a heck of a job. And it's painful to come up short, as you know, and we'll get into that. I also want to thank our support staff, you know, all of our downstairs people, that trainers, equipment guys, strength staff, performance, all the people, player engagement, all those people that put their arms around our staff and our players as they navigate the season and the off season, and all our front office people that help me keep me sane and keep me going in the right direction, you know, and then some people that don't get, you know, notoriety a lot. And hopefully, I think Sean thanked some of those guys after some of those home playoff games. But with the weather here, the snow, all that stuff, Andy Major and his crew, Aaron Rumella and our grounds crew, just getting those fields ready to play, not easy, as you guys all know, just getting here and having those games at home. We love having home playoff games in January. Obviously, we'd love to get the AFC Championship game here. We're always close, but haven't been able to get that yet, so we'll keep swinging the sword for that. But with that, you guys can fire away.
Brandon, you have frequently said that your final game provides a window into what your team maybe needs moving forward. So with that in mind, what do you take away from this loss in terms of what this team needs to maybe build on this offseason?
Yeah, good question, Jay. You're right. The further you go, as you face the better competition, teams are going to try and, you know, as we do, we try and attack teams' weaknesses with our strengths, and they do that. And you're never going to be with the cap. You're never going to be strong in all spots. But, yeah, I think there's some areas that, you know, maybe some of it in that game was we didn't play as well in a certain spot, or maybe they found something. I don't think it was always the same thing. It wasn't a common theme. Some years you're like, hey, man, we just couldn't stop the run all season. You know, our defense, you know, had a few injuries early in the year, kind of battled. We hit that stretch where we played the Rams and Detroit, some shootouts. But I really thought, you know, as we got down the stretch, they were really coming together. Milano got some more play time. Terrell Bernard got a little healthier. We did have a, you know, we lost Benford there, unfortunately, early in the AFC Championship game. But, you know, overall, as they were getting healthier, and it's more than just being on the field, it's that continuity of the unit playing as a group of 11. But, yeah, there's definitely some areas. I don't want to go into specifics or anything right now, Jay. It's so fresh. And so there is an evaluation now, but you don't want to just cut it off. You want to think holistically and not make a – because this player or this position group didn't play to the level they would normally play or that they would like to just throw it all out and say it wasn't good. So we're going to continue to do that in the coming weeks. I could probably more clearly, fairly answer that in a few weeks.
Brandon, when it comes to as much success as you've had, you and Sean have had in your over 8 years, what do you make of that narrative out there that this team is incapable of winning the big game yet? And I know it's only it's 8 years in,
yeah.
And you've had, despite all your successes.
Yeah. Listen, until you do it, you're always going to get questioned, right? It is what it is. We know that. We're aware of that. I don't think it takes away from the success, though. I think you have to, again, not just look at it in a vacuum. You know, you look around, you could be a team that's not made the playoffs the next number of years. We know this team went 17 seasons. So, ultimately, the further you go, the worse it stings, and there's more eyes on you. There's more people watching each playoff game, each season. And, yes, we've now been to the AFC Championship twice. You know, we've had some years where we fell short in the divisional round. You know, we're right there, though, you know, and it's we're not getting blown out. I would say even just look at our two championship games, John. In 2020 – we were excited to be there for the opportunity, but I don't think that game was as close. I don't remember the score. I don't think that game, you know, I could feel as the game was going on, especially by the third quarter, starting to slip away. If you tell me next year, I'll sign up for it, to be in the AFC Championship game, down three with three whatever to go in the game, and we got number 17, I'll sign up for that again and take our chances. You got to do a lot of things very well to be in that position. And let's also give credit to the Chiefs. They're going for an historic three in a row. You know, we're not losing to different teams every year and it's just us coming up short. Like, it's a very good team. They've taken down a lot of teams. Last year, that team, we actually had them here, and the game came down. You know, we miss a kick. It's a play here, a play there. So you have to be careful not to just say they can't win the big game. We do have to do that, and we're going to continue. I can promise you we haven't slept a lot since that game, and we hurt, and we feel bad for the fans that hurt, everyone, this all of our staff, support staff, it's hard to come up short. And so we're going to continue to turn over every rock, every stone. But, again, the last 5 years, this team, counting playoffs, has averaged 13 to 14 wins. So I do want to make sure we balance the scale here, even though we have not got to the big game yet. We're going to keep fighting, and I'm determined we'll get there.
You mentioned Josh having a chance to win that game. He mentioned sustaining something with his hand during that game. How much do you think that impacted him during the course of that game? And do you know the extent of that potential injury?
You'd have to ask Josh how much it affected him. That would be unfair for me to say. My exit conversation with him, that didn't come up.
Brandon, the Amari Cooper trade, look, I mean, I really thought that he was going to come in and be your number one type receiver.
Right.
And when you look at the production, I understand that he didn't have the injury, but the production really wasn't there even when he returned. It seemed like he was healthy. Why did that not turn out maybe the way you thought it would turn out for you?
Yes, Al, good question. I think you have to look at that in a lot of different angles. First off, I've said this before, when you know, people are always talking that you get to the trade deadline, trade for this player, trade for that. You know, you're talking about a player who's never been in this offensive system. And so we talked about that. We did some research, known Amari. Like, he's got to learn the playbook. He's never thrown with Josh Allen. You have to, you know, acclimate with your team, learn an offense. The games keep going. And so, honestly, I think he did a great job of learning our offense, in fairness to him, in due time. He suffered the wrist injury, obviously, banged his back again, missed some games, fought through it, played, you know. Honestly, his wrist could have required surgery, and I feel sure that at least one of the doctors recommended it, but he wanted to keep playing. The other part of that the production numbers, his numbers, yards, touchdowns, catches, whatever stats you're comparing from a production standpoint, sometimes when you add a piece, it's what does it do for the group, the offensive group. Read a stat, or it was sent to me, but basically where the games that Amari played in, our offense averaged 7-point-something more points a game. And so I do think Amari helped our offense. Did he put up all-pro numbers in the games he was here? No. I think that's for various reasons. Again, our offense improved. We averaged over 30 points. I think we were second in the league in total scoring. And you guys kind of know the mantra that was established this year by Josh and Joe Brady of everybody eats. Adding him was not going to get away from that, but does that take a little pressure off of, you know, Shakir, Knox, Kincaid, the run game, all of that? So I do not regret the move. I think it did help us, despite what his personal numbers were.
Brandon, when you talk about the Chiefs and their success, how top of mind is it for you in what you do in the off season to be thinking about beating the Chiefs? Because they've become like a division team and they've taken you out the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. Is that there when you're looking at players, whether it's trades, drafts, whatever it is, that it's how does this guy help us beat the Chiefs?
I get the question, Mike. For me, it always starts in your division because that's your ticket to the postseason. And if you don't take care of business in your division, then you don't get the opportunity maybe to play the Chiefs. So we'll always pay attention to the Jets, the Patriots, and the Dolphins. How do we match up? Where are we stronger than them? Where are they stronger than us? How will we have to win those games? It starts there. When you get past that, yes, who are the perennial contenders? And, of course, the Chiefs are right there every single year. 7 straight AFC championship games. 3 straight Super Bowl opportunities here. I don't know how many total Super Bowls they've been into, but they're heading for their 3rd straight opportunity to win. So, yes, they are one of the teams in the AFC, once you get past those division teams, that how do we stack up against them? And you're also looking at that because we play them every year. We win the division. When they win the division, the way the scheduling works, you're going to play them.
Brandon, how do you balance being so close and with such great success overall with also facing the reality that still hasn't been good enough and maybe feeling you have to do a little bit more than what you've been doing leading up to this?
Yeah, John, you're always trying to, you're never one player away. Okay, that's a dangerous mindset to get into. I learned that when I was a younger person in this league, you know, and you see it, teams, I'm going to chase this player, I'm going to chase this position. You're never one player away. It's, again, this team had championship ability. I do believe that. I don't, you know, sometimes you leave the season and you say, man, I don't know if we gave ourselves a chance. But ultimately, like we talked about earlier, it's down to a few plays. And even if you go back to the Chiefs, our regular season game against them, down to a few plays, we're up 2 points. It's fourth down. We go for it. We make the play. Okay? The other night, you can go through a play here. When you go back through the film, you just say, gosh, if we had gotten executed that play right there, it continues the drive. We're not punting or we're not whatever. We're not turning the ball over on downs. 1 to 2 plays can change the outcome of a game, which ultimately changes the outcome of a season, and we wouldn't be sitting here. So it sucks. It hurts. But I don't think – I'm not in the mood of thinking you have to blow it all up. I don't think that's rational.
So why do you think then year after year you guys have fallen and not been on the right side of just a few of those plays?
Because what I said, you also have to give credit to the team. The Kansas City Chiefs, give them credit. The entire league is chasing them, okay? And we're right there. If I don't know what else you expect to do, I mean, other than if you think we should blow the roster up or strip it down, that is not how I see this. This is not a team that's got a bunch of 33-year-olds to 34-year-olds that you just need to reset. Maybe some areas or maybe a position or maybe a player here or there, but – like, this team did a lot of really good things this season. And when you look holistically at what we've done year after year after year, I think a lot of people would sign up for that. Is it what we want, the final result? No. But I've heard it told to me by multiple people that have been in this league longer than I have. Keep kicking the door. Keep kicking the door, and you're going to knock it down. And that is my mentality. That is our mentality. We are not giving in. We're not. We're frustrated. We want to win. All that's doing is making our chip bigger. Like, we'll reset. We'll recalibrate. Not make any rash decisions. And over the next, you know, few weeks and couple months, shape what the next team will look like. And again, it'll be a new team. So it doesn't, you know, what hurts is there's no guarantee you get back to the championship game. You got to build a whole new team. There will be some of the same returners, but as we know, you know, the league keeps moving. You lose some players. Players retire, whatever happens. So I hope that answers your question.
Brandon, would you say that right now, looking back last year at the changes you did make, are you in a better position, both salary cap-wise and roster-wise, where you might have been a year ago today having this press conference?
Yeah. I mean, last year we definitely were staring at a larger crater with the cap of what we were going to have to do. Now, unfortunately, you still sit here today. We don't know what the cap is going to be. It's one of the nuances of the league. I wish I could change. I wish I knew right now it's going to be, you know, this year it's 255. Tell me today, is it going to be 270? Is it going to be 280? Like, what is it? So we work off of estimates the best we can, but we got that number like the Friday before the combine last year. So you still have to save some decisions until you get that final number. But we won't be in as deep of a cap hole. Now, we also had some numbers that were easier to move off of last year. You know, you didn't necessarily want to lose the player, but you could instantly, removing this player, and this player, get $23 million back just like that, or 20, you know, I don't know the number. I don't think we have as many of those options. But we're okay. We also have to remember, you know, we've got guys that are coming up on extensions and things like that. So I don't expect us to be, as I said here a year ago, big spenders in free agency or anything like that. We still have to manage this cap because we're not going to, again, try and set this thing up to go into a year where we got to strip it all down. While we got number 17, we want to give him every chance every single year to see if that team in 25, 26, 27, and as many years as he can play can contend for a title.
Brandon, you mentioned the plays needed to win games, and the phrase game of inches comes to mind. There were a few plays in that game this past season where you may not have gotten the benefit of some close calls, and there's been a prevailing thought amongst the fan base that maybe you got the short end of the stick in those calls. And I'm not trying to get you in trouble here, but what's your perspective on that, and do you understand why the fans may have felt that way this past week?
Yeah, it's frustrating. You know, there's only so much I can say. You know, I don't, you know, we work with the league to try to get clarity, and I'll give them credit. They've taken our calls. They've sent video and things like that. I just, you know, I wish, you know, if you're talking about like the fourth down play, that was, you know, I feel like he got that. And I still feel like he got that. I felt that in the moment. And nothing has changed my mind on that, you know. And you know, the play that we challenged, I thought was a good challenge. I think, I'm not sure either player had possession on the Bishop Worthy play when the ball touched the ground. You have to have possession. It's like, what is possession? And what Matt says is possession might not be what Elena says is possession. You know what I mean? It's a little bit. But when the ball touches the ground, someone has to have established possession. And, you know, again, they've given how they see it, and that's their job. But it is what it is. I mean, those are just like plays we didn't make in a game, too. So by no means are we saying that's why we lost the game.
Do you feel something needs to change in the way that the league measures down and distance? There's been a lot of discussion, especially in recent years, changes in technology. Do you feel there needs to be a change in that regard? You mentioned the change and the nuances in the league. Is that one of them that you think may need an adjustment?
I think the league, I'll give them credit. I do think they're always looking for, you know, they've added pylon cams and you know, stuff like that. I do think they're constantly looking at it. I just, like anything, some of those technologies come with things that are not necessarily proven or have not been tested out. I think where our league struggles sometimes is we don't have a minor league. Like the pitch clock in baseball, they tried that in minor league before they ever brought it to the major league. And if you had a minor league, our minor league is mainly college football, which has some different rules, but I think that's probably where the NFL would be better. Even having officials to be able to officiate. I mean, that's how major league umpires, you know, get up there. Is they don't just start in the majors or start in college; they work their way up. So that's an impediment that the NFL faces. I don't have a clear solution, so I'm not griping about it. I'm just answering it.
Hey, Brandon, receiver, what's your level of confidence that Colvin can take a big step? And also, you guys can maybe unlock some stuff for Curtis Samuel earlier in the season.
Yeah. You know, I thought Keon, you know, did some good things. And I really felt like he and Josh and the offense were doing this, and then he had the injury. And, you know, I would say probably was a little disappointed in the return from the injury. I did not see the same player down the stretch, you know, from a physicality, some of the things that he needs to use, his size. Some of that is youth. You know, some of that is, you know, I'm not sure how many injuries he's had to overcome in season and come back. That takes a certain, you know, experience level maybe, how to deal with an injury, how to return. Like, how do you work your way back into the lineup? Because we keep playing games, whether you're out 4 weeks, 5 weeks, whatever it was for him. But, you know, that would be my only thing I would say. I wish he had finished the season stronger. But we had honest, direct conversations with Keon. He's a young player. You know, we got to remember he's 21 years old. And some of the guys that get drafted in the first round are 24, 25, things like that. So let's give him a little grace here. You know, his career will not be defined by one season, and he did some good things. He has a skill set that we think will play well in this offense, but it's up to him. He's going to have to work very hard this offseason. Him and Josh continue to work on that rapport together, but I'm optimistic that he'll do those things and that we'll see him continue to improve going into year two. And Samuel, yes, Kurt battled some things this year, first year playing with a new quarterback, new system a little bit. I know he had been with Joe, but this was not the exact same system Joe used with him before, learning the terminology, things like that. Yes, you would have loved for him to get off to a faster start. It was nice to see once he got healthy down the stretch that we started utilizing him and his speed, and I think him and 17 really started to form a bond. Sometimes that takes a little time. You'd love to, when you roll the ball out September the 1st, that they're ready to roll, but it doesn't always happen that way.
Brandon, when it comes to receivers, what did you learn from the Everybody Eats philosophy? And how do you adapt your thinking going forward when it comes to that position, knowing that you're going to have some holes to fill already with the agency?
Yeah, I mean, John, I commend this group, and when I say this group, more than just receivers, the entire offense. I mean, I thought the backs all had their moments, and they're competitive. They all want the ball, just like these receivers. They're running routes. You have to, when you leave that line of scrimmage, you have to be thinking you're getting the ball. If you don't, you know, you're probably going to drop it or something good's not going to happen. But I commend the selflessness of this group, as selfless of a group as you could ask for. And so that is I think that was a plus, you know, for them. And they all cheered each other's success. And I think from a game plan standpoint, you didn't know week to week where the back's going to get the ball in the run game or the Detroit game. Ty Johnson's going to get it in the pass game. Where the tight end's going to get more involved this week is this a Khalil Shakir game? Mac Hollins, you know, with some plays. Obviously, we talked about Curtis, you know, made some big plays down the stretch, the Denver game. And, you know, I think that it's nice to have that balance where on third down, the defense really doesn't know where the ball's going. So we'll continue that. We're going to look for the best players we can get. It doesn't mean, okay, we didn't have a true number one, so we don't want that. No, we still want good players. But we'll always want it to be as selfless of a group as, you know, as possible. Dalton didn't have the year that he expected or we expected. Nothing for any particular reason that I can say other than some durability things. He got nicked up during the season. Dalton's tough. He's going to have to continue to work on his play strength. He's not as built and muscular as let's just say Dawson is. And so that's one of the nuances of this game is as you're a young player is – you know, in college, you don't play 17 games plus playoffs. So building your body up to withstand what it takes. And so, unfortunately, I think it was the Colts game, banged his knee, got the PCL, I believe it was. And I think that set him back. I don't know that he returned from that right away. I think that's one of those things. It's not a surgery. I think it's just time and healing. When you open a wound, and it scabs over, but you don't let it completely, and you keep just kind of like now he will be able to rest and let it calm down. I think when he comes back, it'll be better. But, you know, we believe in Dalton, and Dalton is a big part of our plans going forward. No one in here has lost confidence in him, and you know, I'm aware that, you know, the last play he would have loved to have made that, and I'll give him that. You know, I'm sure Josh would throw him that ball 10 more times out of 10, and he's probably going to come up with it. But it happens. I mean, you saw it the week before with the Baltimore tight end, you know, who's an all-pro, pro bowler player. Dalton should not feel bad about that. That's not the reason we lost the game. He's been a big part of our success. People game plan for him. He's part of the Everybody Eats. So good chance for him to get away, get his body healed up, and we'll be excited to get him back in the spring.
Brandon, along those lines, the last 3 years, you move up for Elam, you moved up for Dalton. Coleman is your first pick of the top of the second round this past year. I don't know if you can objectively look at those guys based on where they're drafted. Those guys are drafted to be difference makers.
I don't know if you can objectively look at this game and say they were difference makers in a positive fashion. Now, I know you're not evaluating them solely on just this game, but holistically, what do you have to do to get more from those really early first-round picks or borderline first-round pick in Coleman's case?
Yeah. Well, I would go back to the, you know, Keon, as I said, not sure he got back to where he was trending pre-injury. So we got to – that's something we got to work on, and hopefully – and he's got to work on. Hopefully that will be better. A lot of confidence in Keon where he's going to go. Again, 21-year-old player. We all would love every player to come out. And, I mean, I think at the end of year one of Josh Allen, you know, I don't think you guys came in here and said, man, you guys got a franchise all-pro MVP type quarterback, right? So I think we need to be fair. There's many, many players. You look at Chris Jones, okay? Hall of Fame, game wrecker, hell of a player. Go back and watch his first year, Jay. Like, he wasn't dominant at that point. It was the second half of his second season, and his third season lights out. The light bulb comes on at different times for different people. And so it's our job here to continue to develop and grow these guys. And so, as we were just talking about Dalton, I'm confident. But Dalton has to do, he'll have to continue to get stronger and be able to endure a 17-game season. And again, the knee thing was kind of a freak deal, but that's real. Like, trying to play with that injury is not easy. And you see other guys around the league deal with that injury. You know, I don't know what Zay Flowers had at the end of the year with Baltimore, but that set him out for a couple weeks. That was a key player that they were missing in our game. It's the unfortunate part of it, you know, that Keon got hurt, Dalton got hurt, but they'll be back healthy. Neither one needs a surgery or anything like that, which is good. And I'm sorry. And we'll but I'm zero less confident in those guys. And again, you're right. It's up to us to continue to get these guys better and count on them in these big games going forward.
Brandon, where are you with Matt Milano when he came back from injury, where he is? Also, his status going forward, his age. I guess, directly, would you anticipate him still being the starting we'll line that for this team?
Yeah, love Matt. Thought he tough break to start camp. You know, he fought through that leg injury and rehabbed off season. That's hard when you got to rehab the whole off season and come back. Couldn't do OTAs and all that, and so he missed. And then he, you know, gets injured in camp. And so by the time we got him on the field in December, you know, that's, I don't know what it was, 14 months maybe since he had played. I don't care what you're doing, riding a bike, swimming, whatever it is. If you hadn't done it for 14 months, you're not just going to hop in there and start. And this is the NFL, the best of the best. So I thought Matt was continuing to get better and better. Fortunately, that hammy got tight on him, and, you know, he fought to play in that game. If that's a regular season game, maybe we protect him and hold him out to make sure he can make a run. But he wasn't missing this game, and he was fighting through it. But I'm proud of him, and it'll be nice for him, Sal, to not have a surgery to rehab from, just what I was talking about with these other guys this off season. And so, you know, that'll be probably as much physically, mentally refreshing for him.
Do you worry he's breaking down?
Do I worry that Matt's breaking down?
Just because of his, just how many injuries he's had.
Yeah, I mean, that's I wouldn't say that I'm worried about him breaking down. I think it's something that we're aware of with age, and sometimes one injury can lead to another injury. That's a proven thing as far as statistically more likely to get another injury, you know, on the same or the opposite side. But, yeah, we'll continue to look at how to armor him like we do every player. We'll have an individualized plan for him when he comes back. Luckily, he's not rehabbing. He'll be healthy. And so, again, with all these guys that have had some types of, whether it's soft tissues or, you know, whatever their injury was, we'll have a plan for them, you know, when they return.
I know that you said everything is a couple plays away, your offense had a ball with a chance to take the lead.
Yeah.
But a
trend has been in some of these elimination games, your defense has given up more points than they do regularly. How do you evaluate that?
Yeah, I mean, there's not a quick answer I can give you here, Matt. I mean, you look at everything. You know, I start with myself and say, you know, did we give the coaches the right talent, the pool? How healthy were we in each of those games? Were we missing a guy? Were a couple guys nicked up? Who did we play? How did we get beat? Were we getting run on? Were we just, was it all pass stuff? Whatever the case may be. So there's not a short, brief answer. It's something, you know, we'll look at, we have looked at, we'll continue to look at and see, you know, that we can find solutions, you know, to continue to improve there, you know, in the big games that you're talking about.
Along those lines, do you need to be better in man coverage to get past the Chiefs?
I think you need to be better at everything. I mean, you know, it's, listen, they're a very good team. If you lock them down in man, they'll come up with some other, they'll come up with rub routes and things like that. Like you, I don't think it's one thing. I think you need to be able to, you know, and you can't just build your team for one team. Like that's dangerous, Mark, because if you do that, and you don't get there, or they happen to fall and another team is in your way and you don't match up well with them now. Well, we were prepared just for the Chiefs and we met the Cincinnati Bengals, and that's not going to fly with you guys when I come down here and say, well, we thought we were going to play the Chiefs. We built this team to beat them. Damn, they lost. We were pulling for them. You know what I'm saying? Like, you want to be able to play indoors. When it's 70 degrees, there's no wind. You want to be able to play when there's 30-mile-an-hour wind. You want to be able to play the San Francisco game when it's snowing. You want to be able to play press man. You want to be able to play off, eyes on the quarterback. You want to be able to spy when you need to spy. You got, I mean, the week before, you got to play zone read with Lamar, who's maybe the most dangerous quarterback, at least since Michael Vick, with the ball in his hand, and then Derrick Henry, a generational talent there. Like, you can't just build it for one team. And I understand the question, but I think that's very dangerous.
Brandon, sticking with the defense. The defensive line, we know that you've invested a lot of high-round picks.
Yep.
Spent money on Von Miller. I think the fan base is generally underwhelmed by the pass rush, and especially in these elimination games the last 5 years. What do you have to do to find a better pass rush?
Yeah, I mean, we always want to be strong up front, Sal. We do. Again, yeah, the other teams are good too. They do things. They scheme you. They're aware of where your strengths are, where your weaknesses are. You know, Vaughn, you know, signing him, yes, when we signed him a few years ago, we were trying to get a guy. We could not get to Mahomes in the 13-second game, and Vaughn had a heck of a run with the Rams to help them seal some games, including the Super Bowl. And so, yes, and I thought Vaughn started that year very well. I think he had 8 sacks in 9 or 10 games. Like, he was playing like a top-10 defensive end. Unfortunately, you know, you can't predict those injuries. And people say, well, why would you pay a 30-something-year-old? Well, like, we paid Tre'Davious White. Unfortunately, he tore his ACL. Like, you can tear your ACL in high school, college, a 20-year-old, a 30-year-old, whatever. It is what it is. Unfortunately, it's as late as Vaughn did it, similar to Tre'Davious. We kind of lost him for the next year. And so I thought this year you started to see Vaughn return to form, made some plays, made some sacks, looked more like himself. You know, I'm sure he would like some opportunities back the other night to get Mahomes down. You know, those guys did a nice job. They made the plays they had to make. Again, it's not just one thing, but we always want to be strong up front. We want to stop the run, see if we can get you into a drop back pass game, and then get after you. And those words I know sometimes can ring hollow if you don't get the final result, but I don't think you want to throw out the success that some of the guys had up front. You know, Greg, AJ, Ed, Vaughn at times, and some of those guys. So we'll always, you know, just like our O-line, we'll look at that, and if there's areas that we can get better there, we will try to address that.
Quick
quick follow on that. You mentioned Chris Jones a few minutes ago. He's a guy that, like, in these big moments, seems to always be a game wrecker in any game.
Yeah.
I feel like on the offensive side of the ball, you have that for Josh Allen. Yeah. These games, he reaches that level.
Yeah.
You need to find that one game-changing force on defense to be able to get past this round.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of Chris Joneses floating out there. I get the question. Yes, but where do you land that? You know, I don't know many teams are going to hand you a Chris Jones or a game wrecker. They're probably sewed up. You know what I mean? Like you look around. There's not a lot of players that make 28 to 30 some million dollars a year, which I think is kind of what those high-end defensive players are making. We're not ever picking in the top 5, 10. Like, you're not to say you can never get those guys. Chris Jones actually fell to the second round, and we'll turn over every stone we can to find them. But would I love to add one of those guys? Heck yeah, I would. But we have a cap. We pick where we pick. You got to make the best, you know, of what you got. And again, we would love to do that if that player is out there.
You don't want to judge a player, especially earlier in their career, on one season, on the negative side, probably the same on the positive side. But when it comes to Xavier Worthy and what you saw from him this season, particularly recency bias with this past Sunday, is there any seller's remorse there with Xavier Worthy?
When you say seller's remorse,
you had the opportunity to draft him. Mm-hmm. You bypass that opportunity with the trade. Is there any remorse there that maybe you would have wanted to draft the player, seeing how it played out this season?
Listen, you look at every. I mean, there's players every year. You look at every draft that you decide. Again, I'll go back to my statement about Keon. No one's going to make the Hall of Fame after year one, and no one's going to get thrown out of the league. You know. Both players can be good for both teams years to come. We'll look back in 4, 5, 6 years and decide what players that we drafted worked out for us and other teams as well. And so I don't think today you and I can draw a statement of how either one of these careers will go. I understand the question, but we're always going to make moves about the Buffalo Bills, just like they're always going to make moves about the Kansas City Chiefs. So when you make a decision to trade with them or trade with someone else, it's about what's best for the Buffalo Bills. And, again, I'm sure they made that move to what they thought was in the best interest of the Chiefs.
Hey, Brady, we got Shakir extension eligible. How high are the priorities? Get someone dead about before the regular season starts.
Yeah, I mean, we'll have conversations with a lot of our guys. I don't want to get into individual cases, but some of the guys that you mentioned, potentially other guys that are already going to be free agents, you know, before March. Sometimes those guys that you want back that are going to be UFAs, sometimes you got to attack those first, because as we know, once you get to the combine, you start hearing rumors of guys hitting free agency, even though it's technically not legal at that point. So, you know, that's part of where we're at here, Ryan, is when you play this late in the season, it's almost February, it condenses the time to get to all these decisions. I mean, we got college scouts coming in next week to start preparing for the combine. And so we'll look at everything. I don't want to go into each individual, who we would try and extend now. And you guys know we do a lot of extensions like that later in the year as well. So I think once we get through the next few weeks and even closer to the draft, that stuff will kind of start to come to fruition, how our cap dollars are spent and how we can shape contracts for guys that we would want to extend.
Hey, Brandon, would Josh Allen be included in that? The quarterback market has sort of been reset since you signed him, and that would be one potential avenue of opening up some cap space for an extension for Josh. Is that something that's on the table?
Yeah, Jay, I mean, love Josh and so proud of what he's done. And so, you know, I could be here all day talking about you know, how great he is and what he's done for our team and where he belongs in the pecking order of all that stuff. It's one of those things. He and I have a great relationship. We talk a lot. When the dust settles, you know, before we're ever really talking to his agent or his agent's calling me, like Josh and I will have those conversations about holistically about the team, things like that. And I'm not saying it will happen. I'm not saying it won't happen. You know, I don't really want to go into that. And I really can't tell you at this point. We haven't even approached that. It's just this season-ending loss. He doesn't even want to talk about it. He's, you know, I don't know if you guys talked to him after, Monday, but he was dejected like all of us. And so there will be a time and place, and not saying we will, but not ruling it out either.
Brandon, where does Demar's number? Oh, go ahead.
Demar's one of those free agents upcoming. How do you view how this season went for him and his
situation? Oh, man. Demar's got one of the greatest stories ever. I mean, I think we can all agree that, right? For him, you know, we signed a couple of guys in the off season. We draft Cole Bishop. We lose Micah and Jordan, but DeMar, coming off of, without rehashing his whole story, you know, to come in here, I think when in the spring as we signed people were wondering, is DeMar going to make the team? What's his role? And then he goes out and earns a starting job. He not only earned it to start the season, but he kept it all year long when healthy. And so I think he really I think he even impressed himself, like what he did. I mean, when you just sit back and think of what he did, but so proud of him, like what he's been through to how he helped our team and our defense this season. And so, yeah, you hate the business part of it that you're already up on him being a UFA. It seems like yesterday we were going through his medical stuff. But, yeah, the business part, we'll handle that. But I would just say, I'm super proud of him. There's no bigger fan than me of DeMar Hamlin.
By all accounts, when it comes to Von Miller's numbers and just where he fits on the cap and what his use is now, how do you see that working out? He wants to be back, but I'm not sure if the numbers. What do you think about the numbers here?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to have to look at, you know, like a lot of guys, not just Von, but we're going to have to look at, again, can you tell me what the cap's going to be? And then, you know, I think, you know, I want to give Vaughn credit for what he did last season. He did an uncharacteristic thing, a selfless thing to be about the team. I mean, he took less money than what he was guaranteed. How many people that you guys know, you cover this business, that's willing to do that? That's the sacrifice. This guy wanted to be a part of this team, wanted to stay here and help this team win a championship. And that says everything you need to know about Von Miller. And so, again, I don't have anything I can give you any clarity on today about him. We got a lot of things to look at, but I'm appreciative of Von. I know, you know, we didn't get 3 full years of healthy Von, but I do want to say, too, as well, Von did – he brought things, a championship mentality. You always want guys around that know what it looks like to tell guys what championship teams look like, felt like, the things they did. And so beyond his production on the field, he did a lot of things in our locker room, behind the scenes, one-on-one with young guys like Javon Solomon and guys like that. So very appreciative of what he did to this point. And then we'll handle the business side if we think, there's a way to get him back for year 4.
It was a tough spot for Kyrie to come in. You mentioned not having Benford in that game. But for Elam as a whole this season, to be inactive for the chunk of the season that he was, like, where do things stand with him, and how do you view him moving in this offseason as a former first-round pick that most weeks just wasn't available for him?
Yeah, I mean, the special teams piece hurts, you know, from that standpoint. I think, you know, I would say Jamarcus was a more valuable asset on special teams. So when you get numbers, once you decided that your starters were Christian and Rasul, you know, Jamarcus was playing a lot of roles, was playing a backup nickel role at times with Cam Lewis. So you only can put up so many guys, and I know that was frustrating for Kyrie. You know, I think there's been a lot of, you know, frustration there, you know, for him. And he's been a pro. He's handled it well. It's definitely not how he envisioned it the day we drafted him or we envisioned it. You know, things happen. Life happens. These are people you draft. And I think he could have handled things a lot worse. He's such a team. You guys talk to him. He keeps his head up the best he can. You know, tough spot to go in when you haven't played as much. You know, you always wonder where was their confidence level, you know, because like anything, you stand over a golf ball and hasn't gone well, you haven't played or you haven't had good shots, what's your confidence level? And so I always use the golf analogies, like, but I can tell you the guy prepares like he's starting every single week, even when he knows he's going to be inactive, and that's hard, and that's a testament to, you know, what a pro he is. But finished year three, I'm sure he's going to recharge and you know, prepare himself for year four.
Brandon, was there back on the season and what happened? How does this team strike you as different than the last few years?
This team was, listen, we've had a lot of close units, and, you know, we've had a lot of really good teams, strong teams. This team was as close as you could ask for. It did remind me a little bit of some of the really strong teams we had in Carolina, like that. You just, guys wanting to hang out here and play chess or whatever in the locker room or whatever games they would play, or you know, the quarterback's playing Catan, and then guys going over to whether it's Josh's house or somebody else's house to hang out, or, you know, guys showing up at other guys' community events. Like, I don't really recall that every year. Maybe it happened some, but you know, that's the hard part when you walk in the locker room. It's that abrupt end, and you see tears on guys' eyes that you had no idea that it meant that much to them. And so I would say this group, I'm not sure we've had a tighter group than this group, maybe as tight, but that's what makes it so painful, is there's no easy ending unless you're holding that trophy up, Maddie, and it's just it's a kick in the face when it ends like that.
Hey, Brandon, was there ever thought that Michael was going to play? I mean, I know he said, like, he's done and he was going to be done this year. How that worked out?
Yeah.
They never got on the field.
Yeah, we – listen, when we brought Micah back, I mean, who better than Micah Hyde to have in your building? I mean, you want to talk about the most positive guy, team first, selfless. And so I knew the question was coming. You know, you guys even asked it, and maybe at camp when there was uncertainty at safety, we had the injuries to Cole and Mike Edwards, and it was like, all right, is it time to pull the Micah switch and get him back? But we wanted to let it play out, see what we had, and then we got into a rhythm. But Micah was always kind of like just sitting right here, like, and so I didn't want to be calling him calling me, because I didn't really have a clear answer. But as we were approaching the bye, you know, I just called him and asked him what he was doing, and we laughed and talked for a minute. And, you know, he's like, oh, I'm watching TV, screaming at TV every week, like, those boys are doing it, you know, just. And so I said, you know, obviously Sean and I talked a little bit about what it could be, but I just said, Micah, what about you just coming in here, being on practice squad, and just pour into the group everything, be, you know what we expect, you know what our locker room is. Everyone would welcome him with open arms. I mean, it was to see the smiles on the faces when he came back in here. And when you know, the other part of that, when you draft a guy like Cole Bishop, who had the injury, the Houston game, got beat on the deep ball, and like, just how do we help him, grow him, give him a different perspective? Obviously, you know, Coach Dana and those guys and Bobby Babich are working with him. But there is a perspective of a guy who's done it on the field, playing at the level that Mike has done it. So to give, you know, pour into Cole what he sees. And so, like I talked about with Vaughn, even though Vaughn was playing, Micah was all in, like pouring into Cole and DeMar too, and those other guys that he had relationships with. But I'm hopeful that we'll see that benefit, you know, with Cole going forward. Did we ever say he would 100% not play? No, but it was kind of never our plan to do that unless we just ran out of people.
Brandon, how do you view the boundary given Russell's contract status and the struggles that Kyrie has?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely, that's one of the positions we'll look at and evaluate, you know, as we talked about areas on defense that we need to look at. So, yes, we'll evaluate that, and we got a lot of work to do of where we need to allocate resources, whether it's extending guys, signing a free agent, or draft allocation, and that is one of the areas we would look at.
What's your assessment on the offensive line's performance this year and how that pertains going into this offseason?
Yeah, I mean, the O-line was, you know, those guys, what Chrome and Austin Gund and that group did was impressive. You know, I was, you always hope, you know, first off that the group's going to stay healthy, because that unit, they need that continuity, that communication piece, Tim. And those guys played well. I mean, I think we were the first team that rushed for 30 touchdowns or over 30 and threw for it. That starts with those guys up front. And to be able, you know, you look around the league and you see, as you evaluate O-lines and players, this guy's really good in pass pro, not a great run blocker, or vice versa. Or this unit, man, they give up some sacks, but if they get ahead of you, they can road grade you. The thing this O-line had and should have going forward is they showed they could run the ball when they needed to, four-minute offense, games that we needed to keep the, you know, control the ball, keep the other quarterback off the field. Or if we got down, it's a track meet, the Detroit game, the Rams game, some of these games where we got to air it out, and those defenses were pinning their ears back. Those guys held up really well. So I was very impressed with that group. You know, I was proud that Deion got acknowledged for the Pro Bowl. You know, I felt like we got some snubs. I'm glad Connor gets to go as an alternate, but I felt that group as a whole, I thought they'd get some more recognition than they did.
Brandon, when you talk about the knocking on the door philosophy, but
yep,
you're going to walk out of that room, and that's going to be your 24/7 for the next year, month, whatever. Can you describe the unique challenge of being in that seat and attempting that when the door might end up being the best dynasty in the history of the sport?
All right, rephrase that so I know I'm answering it right.
You talked about the idea of continuing to knock on the door.
Yeah.
This team getting close. For you, though, you're in the seat. You're living that every day.
Yeah.
What is that unique challenge like? Because this is not a normal GM assignment. You know, this is, you don't get this close a lot with the type of team that is in the way. What is it like for you day to day to have to live and work through that?
Yeah. You know, that I'm wired. I fuss at myself for areas that I think I could have done better, and always evaluating, you know, gosh, if we had just, maybe we should have looked there, maybe we should have done that. And some of it, you don't know all the answers till it plays out. You know, maybe you were trying to get a player and it was down to you and another team and they chose another team. You're like, man, that might have been a move. So That's where I'm at. You know, I just look at it's, again, I'll go back to the golf analogy. I don't think about the birdies. I think about the stupid double bogeys I made to cost me from shooting a good round. And so I'm going to focus on, you know, and that's just the way I'm wired. Like, where can I be better? Where can we be better as a staff? Where can we be better as an organization? And it's not one thing, it's not one area, but you're just trying to incrementally do things just a little bit better every year, because as we said earlier, it comes down to sometimes one play, two plays, three plays. We're not missing from a wide gap, but we do still need to find a way to make that play. And so what can I do to do that? I'm not looking anywhere else but the man in the mirror.
Hey, Brandon, how would you assess the defensive tackle group this year, not only from a run defending piece, but also getting
at the quarterback? Yeah, I mean, I thought Ed probably started a little slower than he, you know, he last year got some good production numbers, did a good job. Once he got into a rhythm, I thought he played really well and played well down the stretch. I just think it took him a little time to hit his stride. As a group, we changed some parts in and out of there. We brought some vets in late. Daquan's been here now 3 years, and I think as a group, it was good. At times, really good. Sometimes you probably would like better. I mean, another guy that. It was the year of the wrist. Another guy that suffered an injury was Dwayne Carter. And he was really doing some good things before that injury. He had a big fourth down stop against the Titans when that game was still in the balance. And he was really starting to, you know, ascend as that guy right behind Ed and DQ, and never really got him back on track. But I know he's determined, you know, like Keon, to come back strong. So we went with a lot of different parts. Q Jefferson came in late trying to have a guy that, you know, as a rush guy. Jordan Phillips, you know, we all know Jordan's story. When he puts that Bills helmet on, we get the best out of him, and it's fun to see him. He's that guy's grown so much, and, again, another guy that poured into the group. And then we needed a big stop there, and he made a big play for us to hold them to three. Like anything, Joe, I think there was some good things and then some things that you say, man, I wish that was a little bit better.
Brandon, what do you make of this season, Josh has specifically in terms of taking care of the football and even relative to turnover issues he had just recently this last year? Did you view that evolution in this game something critical for this team in final regions?
Yeah, I mean, Sean's biggest message every week, one of his top men, is protect the ball. You know, it's probably a lot of teams, but I thought Josh went above and beyond being overly intentional with protecting the ball without, like, playing scared or playing overly safe. You know, he still played like an MVP, and a credit to him of I'm going to really be very mindful. And he's still going to make some throws here or there. That's Josh. You're not going to take that out of him. But even, you know, the fumbles, and I don't know where those numbers ended up compared to years, but I'm going to guess they were down. But to have 8 turnovers as a team, and I think he was the only guy that had a turnover. I don't think anyone else lost a ball, which is unique as well. I'm not sure you can count on that every year to have single-digit turnovers, and whatever our margin was, like plus 27 maybe. But I thought that was part of the thing that was when people were, you know, who's the MVP, yada, yada, and, you know, we'll find out next week. But people were not talking about that enough of how much he took care of the ball, yet our offense was still – we still scored over 30 points. He didn't take care of the ball, and we turned into a run team, throw the ball, you know, 15 times a game. Like, we're still scoring points.
How did you see Sean this year?
Yeah, I think one of you guys asked me, like, is at one point, like, is Sean more relaxed? Is he the, like, I do think, you know, he found a groove with, you know, he has a leadership council of kind of pouring into those guys what he needs and, you know, letting some of those guys lead in their own way, where maybe he didn't have to feel like I've got to be here, and there. And I do think, you know, the year before he had took over the defense. It's so hard to do all that and wear the head coach hat. I think it allowed him to stretch himself. But no, I think he. You know, a lot of it is about X's and O's, right? It is, but it's also how do you free your team so that these guys can play loose, fast, yet protect the ball and make the other team turn the ball over. And I thought, you know, you saw the vibe with him and our team. And like I said, I think our team was very close this year, and I think he helped create that.
There does seem still to be a segment, despite all the success, and you spoke to it earlier in the press conference, like a lot of people would take the success that you guys have had as a team. There's been some national noise about, well, Sean can never get over the hump, so maybe Bill should just move on.
Yeah.
How do you view that as one of the leaders in the organization, the job that Sean's done overall with that in this season?
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's unfair to pin that on one person. A lot of people say Josh Allen can't beat Patrick Mahomes, and I can give you reasons why he did. Like, it's, I think it's unfair to pin that on Sean McDermott. It's unfair to pin that on just Josh Allen. The Buffalo Bills lost, you know, this year to the Kansas City Chiefs, last year, the year before to the Bengals, whatever, you know, whatever those were. And so we as an organization, again, blame me. Like, there's things I could have done better to help Josh Allen more or to help Sean McDermott more. And I don't know how to explain it any further, Matt. Like, we won 13 games. We could have won 14. We set our people the last game. Like, and I said, since 2020, we've won a lot of games. I don't think there's, like, magic pixie dust you're going to pour on a coach and he's just going to walk in here and change that. I think as a group, as an organization, again, I'll start with myself, there's things I could have done that would maybe there's things if I did better that would have made the play. You know, maybe if I would have signed a different person, drafted a different person, traded a different person. Like, there's so many different things that I go through. I think you just got to ignore that noise. There's always going to be noise. If you don't hold the trophy up, you know, if we'd have lost to the Ravens, if whatever happens, Mark Andrews catches that ball and somehow it gets to overtime and they win the game, that would be the narrative. Like, we got out-coached in that game. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you don't win the game, they're going to say they out-executed you and out-coached you. But no one said last week, because we won by 2 points, no one was saying we got out anything. And I didn't read their narrative. But if you don't win the championship, if you come up short like we did and like we have, that's what people are going to say. Can you guys win the big one? We just have to keep kicking the door down.
Brandon, understanding that narrative and understanding that noise, how difficult is it, or does it just take time to remove yourself from those emotions to objectively evaluate your team for the next season? Is it just time, or is it just how do you process that emotion?
Yeah. You know, I can tell you right now I still have emotion. You can hear it in my voice a little bit. So it'd be unfair for me to make any big-time decisions right now. And that's why, as you guys have asked about players or, you know, they're coming back or free agents, like, it's still too raw. It's still too emotional. I'm going to work through the things with our staff that we need to work through, areas with that will lead to decisions. But I don't think it would be responsible for me right now this week to do that. But they're coming. We know we have a window of time, and we'll get there. I got to get through the emotion of it.
How's your game?
I don't even know how to play. Yeah. So bad.
Can you give us an update on Christian Benford? How's he doing?
Benford is, he's in the protocol, so I can't say too much. But he came up to my office yesterday, smile on his face. So all good. But he's still in protocol.
For the record, did Josh break his hand?
No.
Brandon, I think that you went through pretty much every position group, so I'll throw out two. You mentioned Kincaid, but what about the tight ends in general, and also your special teams? Tyler Bass this year.
Yeah. I thought the tight ends, I thought Dawson, I don't know what Dawson's statistics were. It might not have been statistically like we were talking about Amari's, his individual stats, but as a complete tight end, I thought Dawson had his most consistent year. And when we talk about selfless, I'm not sure there's a more selfless guy than Dawson Knox. You draft Dalton Kincaid, there's all this hype that Dalton's going to do this, and what's your role? That guy comes in here every day, he puts his arm around Dalton, roots for him like a pro's pro, as selfless as you can get. You need as many guys like Dawson Knox as you can to win a championship. Those are the types of players, even if their stats aren't what Kelce's and some of these, you know, guys are, he does so much for our team that you guys don't even see the man he is, the leader he is. So we are lucky. Just he's not going to give a speech to the whole team, but he's going to pull guys to the side. He's never, if we lose a game or it's emotionally, like, he is like this. He is a rock. People go to Dawson Knox. People believe in Dawson Knox. And he is what is good, the many good things about the Buffalo Bills. What was your other question, Tyler Bass? T-Bass, yeah, I know a lot of calls for changes there and things like that. Major credit to Tyler for battling through that. You're kind of on an island as a kicker. You know, if you're a tight end, you got a room, guys to rely on. He's out there on an island. Everyone's watching him in the stadium or on the TV. And what were his numbers in the postseason? I know he was perfect. 13 for 13. You know, no one's talking about him because he didn't miss. Now, we know if he'd have missed, that would have been, you know, a year ago at this time, you know, people were donating to his foundation because people were so mad at him. And so I give him a lot of credit. That's not easy to do. And I'm happy for where he's headed.
Hey, Brandon, you just said Dawson's good wrist-wise. You know, that's the only thing. The young lady needs surgery. Is there anyone who does need off-season procedures?
There are some guys that are getting things looked at. I wouldn't want to say yet who's definitely doing it. We met with Nate Bresky and his staff yesterday, and kind of as we were going through some of the personnel of what guys are doing. So guys are getting scans or getting things sent off for second opinions. I do think we're going to have, you know, a handful or whatever, but we'll rehab them. Nothing as I sit here today that I think would impact training camp, which is the most important. But you may have some guys in red jerseys in the spring, you know, wherever their participation level would be allowed in their rehab process.
Brandon, Joe Brady, you know, first full season as full-time coordinator. What do you make of the job?
I thought Joe did a really good job. He's got that hat on his desk that says everybody eats. You see it when you walk in there. I think he and Josh really spread that motto, and I think it was contagious. I think it guys still want the ball. I mean, there's still conversations guys make, man, I can do more, coach. It's natural, and you want that. You don't want guys that are like, you know, I'm fine just running around or not getting the ball. But, again, I'll go back to we average over 30 points a game. That stat about rushing for 30 and, I mean, the balance – and we won games in different ways. I think that shows the strength of a unit, of how you win in different ways. And I think Joe really embraced, hey, this week we just need to run the ball. Hey, this week we're going to let Josh air it out. Hey, this week we're going to get a matchup of against Detroit against Ty Johnson in some big moments, and we're going to exploit it. So I think that's, you know, he never went in trying to force feed the ball, him or Josh, to a certain place or only run the ball, only throw the ball. I loved our balance, and credit to him and his staff.
Brandon, you've referenced this team. They love each other. They're tight. Does that make you maybe a little more hesitant to take a risk on a character? Or is it talent's talent? You got a Super Bowl window. Let's get this player, whether it's free agency or trade.
Yeah, Tyler, we've always try to really pay attention to the character. The talent is the talent. And, you know, the Senior Bowl is going on right now. I would usually be there. It's a good problem to have, but not being there. But I do miss that because I really – it's the first time I can start talking to these guys. We're always going to dig into that because every team you build, I truly believe it's a chemistry experiment. And if – it's not always the most talented team. It's not. It's the best team. And that comes with unity and tightness and trust and communication and love for one another. And this team had that. And so we want as many talented players as we can have, but not at the expense of taking away from the team.
Granted, you have two guys, once again, Brian Dean and Terrence Gray, who interview for jobs every year. This comes up. I know they're a great for your organization. As a guy who's been through all that,
yeah.
What is it like for you to have those conversations with them? They have a career, but they also have a great situation here. How do you go about it with your conversations with them?
Yeah, I mean, we talk about each situation. You know, these guys both, we talked about where they're interviewing, and we do this with other people in different departments that are interviewing, but what are the pros of it? What are the negatives of it? And then who they're going to be interviewing with. We just talk about the whole thing and kind of, you know, what's their approach going to be. And, you know, these guys will usually bounce some ideas off of me. I'll give them my 2 cents and tell them to, you know, tell anyone there, like, give me a call. I'll be glad to, you know, and usually I do get a call here or there. But, no, you never want to lose talented people like that, just like players or coaches, whatever. But these are also friends of mine through that you work together, that you become friends. You spend more time with them than you do your family sometimes. And so, to, you know, most people at their level want to sit in this seat that I'm sitting in and have that opportunity. And so you want that for them at the same time. You know, I hated, you know, to lose Dan Morgan and Joe Shane. Those are still very good friends, and you miss them on a daily basis. But you root for their success, except when we play them. Yes, but it's hard, too, when you go interview for those jobs and you don't get them. Like, you know, hey, it's all right, man. Like, you're going to get another chance. Like, people forget about that. That's when you're in. I interviewed for a job in San Francisco. I didn't get it. You kind of have to, man, that sucks, and then recalibrate. All right. I'm back working for the Carolina Panthers, and in their case, they're back working for the Buffalo Bills. So, you know, excited when they get the opportunity, but selfishly, too, I'm still glad we got them. They'll help us.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.